Recovery 101.
Thank you to Phil for his Recovery Idol jingle set, and this is part two. Same song, sort of.
Different take.
Little bit different take.
Part two.
Part two.
Part two.
You mean duh?
Duh? Is that what it is? Duh?
Oh.
Duh?
Duh. Trois, quatre, sept, cinq, sept, huit, neuf, dix.
There you go.
Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa, lambda, mu, nu, zi, micron, pi, rho, sigma, tau, upsilon, pi, chi, psi, omega.
Gesundheit.
Yeah.
That was a Greek alphabet.
Yeah,
can
we used to have to say that twice before a match burnt us.
Can you do it backwards?
No.
Okay.
That means I'm drunk if I can't do it backwards.
Yeah. Can you say the alphabet backwards, even sober?
No.
I probably could, but I would be a little bit slower than
you. Without tripping.
Yeah, I mean... We should talk about that in a little while.
I have to get it lined up in my head first.
Okay, fine.
And I think that's just because you work in a library long enough, you've got to go back and forth between the alphabet, so...
Yeah.
By the way, we don't speak for any of the anonymous programs.
Okay.
As you can tell from this last bit of banter, we don't even speak that well for ourselves.
That's right. And welcome to the show.
Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with...
Shelley.
And Mark.
Shelley, say the alphabet backwards. Come on. You've had a few minutes to think about it now.
I wasn't thinking
about it,
though.
Come on. Just a drunk driving. You've been pulled over. Z.
Z-Y-X-W.
Z-Y-X-W.
V-U-T.
V-U-T-S.
S-R.
O.
Q.
Oh, Q, yeah.
P.
Yeah, see, I'm going to jail.
S-R, Q-U-P.
Q-P.
O-N. M.
Oh, Connor.
L.
L. See, I started thinking Spanish for a second. I'm like, L-Y.
K, wait, K-J.
I.
H. G. F. E. D.
Mom's been drinking since noon. We'll see if she can get through it.
There you go.
I just did. I finished.
Okay.
Did you get H?
Yes.
I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, me neither. That's okay. Either was the cop. He's just amazed that you could even do it. So.
Yeah.
What?
How was your day, Shelley? We didn't talk about it much on the other show.
Oh. I have to give a huge shout out to Bill Gesundheit. Bill P, you know, Recovery 101, sponsored in part by Bill P.
Yes.
Because I got my new full-time job that I'm all excited about.
Yay.
It's like my dream job of the century. He sent me a congratulations getting your job present.
What a, dude, Bill, what a nice.
He presents for everything.
Dude,
I'm like,
he's the nicest guy on the planet.
Yeah, he sent it from ThinkGeek.
Ladies, he's available.
Yes.
Fresno, if you live in the Fresno area, you'd like to hook up with Bill P., you send us an email, we'll hook you up.
I don't know that Bill really wants you to say that.
You never know.
You never know.
You never know.
We can run a little dating service.
Like some supermodel might call up.
Anyway, he sent me it's like an aquarium lamp thing. It has fake fish in it, but, you know, those of you who know the jellyfish story will understand the significance of this. It's a jellyfish tank.
Does it have a live jellyfish and fake fish?
No, not live jellyfish, but it's got like the little, it's like a lava lamp almost, but with jellyfish in it, and it looks like a little fish tank.
Ooh.
That's really cool.
Isn't that awesome?
You're putting it in your little office there?
At work. I'm going to take
it
to
work. Oh.
Once I condition it, you have to condition it and so that it doesn't get fungus in it or whatever.
Okay. Awesome.
Shouldn't you put fake water in your fake jellyfish fake tank?
You do. You have to put distilled water. Oh, that's what I forgot to get at the grocery store.
Ah.
And I even looked at the bottles of water and thought, there's a reason why I need to get one of those big bottles of water, and now I can't remember why.
Yeah, you were in the water aisle.
I was.
Which is not too far from the booze aisle.
Depends on which store you're in. If you're at Albertsons, it's like three or four aisles away.
Yeah.
And if you're buying Maker's Mark, it's all the same aisle.
Yeah.
The booze and the water.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, it's water flavored with other stuff. Maker's Mark. We did it on the Boozy News.
Right.
Then they quit watering
it
down. Then they quit watering it down. They say.
Yes, they say.
They say. So, oh, well.
What?
When it's time for the Boozy News. And the news not fit for booze. Stay classy, San Diego.
What is the groovy stuff on the chair there?
And thanks for stopping by.
Latte?
Yeah, latte.
Yeah, I believe that. Kay.
Hey, look, if it was that color, I'd have to run to the doctor real quick because it was kind of brownie, creamy, latte looking.
Kay. Let's
just cut
see,
you
where
off.
Are we? Carson City, Nevada.
Ooh, the capital.
Been there. Once. Actually, wasn't even really there. I went through there. That's the one that's south of Reno, right?
Right.
Anyway, Walter Samazgo Jr.
Does that count as three names?
No.
No.
He was 69 years old. He passed away.
He was 69 years old.
I mean, passed away like, you know, died. I mean, it wasn't like he had a drug overdose or anything. He just died.
Just assumed room temperature one day?
Yes. He the number one cause of death. His heart stopped beating.
Mm-hmm.
They discovered he was kind of a hermit, and he had a bunch of junk piled up. And you know,
A hoarder, kind of.
Yeah, that type of person. So when a cleanup crew arrived to clean out the property...
Who'd they find?
Hermit.
They didn't find a person.
Oh.
They found millions of dollars worth of gold coins.
Millions.
Millions. He was a coin collector. He collected gold bullion coins from all over the world for years. He's been doing it since he purchased his first one in 1964.
Did anybody check the pockets of the guys that went in there and found all that gold coins?
I don't know. But
God, I'm such a dope fiend.
He also died with $800,000 worth of government taxes owing.
Oh.
So, but once...
But he had millions in coins. He could have just paid it.
So, I know. He never paid for anything. His bills, they looked in his bank statements and stuff like that, he spent about $500 in groceries and bills every month. And he owned the home he lived in. His entire expenses. He had $1,200 in his checking account when he died, and he had millions of dollars worth of gold in the house.
I wonder where he got all the money to buy the millions of dollars
worth
of gold.
Well, he's been buying them one at a time since 1964. When he first started buying them, it was $35 an ounce. It's now up to $1,600
an ounce.
And
what is it? Like one Krugerrand's like an ounce, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. One it's
Troy
$1,600.
So he has a million Krugerrands in his house, or several million.
What?
Oh, no, not anymore. No, never mind. Never mind.
Whatever. Anyway.
Yeah, now it's like, what? How much is it an ounce now?
I just said.
$1,600.
Twice. At any rate. They did. He had no known living relatives.
He does it.
They finally did locate an actual blood relative who is a second cousin. Shut the hell up.
Ooh. I didn't think you could hear me. You
I'm
Mark
not
do it
deaf.
To, you and Mark
I'm
do it to me all the
you.
Time.
Yeah, don't you
Mark
don't hear
this
it.
At you all the time.
You don't know until you listen to the show.
Okay, at any rate.
Found a second cousin.
Yes, she's a substitute teacher. Basically living check to check, and all of a sudden is going to be a millionaire once they auction off the coins and pay off his debt. She gets the entire remainder of his estate.
Oh, good for her.
Now, Mark, you probably know better on this. Let's say you have a Krugerrand or some other type of gold coin, and it's from 1964. Is it worth more than a Krugerrand from now, or do they just go on gold weight?
For the most part, once you get up into the coins in the last 50 years, they're pretty much gold weight.
Oh yeah, that's what it said in the story that they would be auctioning. They were auctioning them off for gold weight, not for the value. Salt Lake City
Utah.
We've got a couple of Utah stories in a row, I think. Maybe.
Thank you, Brian.
Hey, Brian.
Yeah. A major meth bust happened this last Monday. About 41 pounds of methamphetamine were intercepted in a parking lot.
That's a bunch.
That adds to the 300 pounds they seized previously. More than 30 people have been arrested throughout this whole investigation that they've been
300
doing.
Pounds is a lot of meth.
What I thought was amusing was the DEA agent for that area, Frank Smith, which sounds suspiciously like a nom de plume,
yeah.
an alias.
Yeah.
John Smith.
Yes. Agent Frank Smith is quoted as saying, "All of this dope was destined for us. The people of Utah can sleep better tonight because we have closed the floodgates."
Because you know what? If they got all that meth, they would be able to sleep.
Yeah.
That's right. You can sleep better.
Yeah. You guys are going to sleep better.
Well,
all the drug addicts are like, F you.
Yeah. I didn't want to sleep.
What I'm thinking is that this agent must be new because if he thinks they've closed the floodgates, he'll find out real fast.
Yeah. Oh, no. They closed the floodgates for about 3 days.
For a minute.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, though, when you take, how many people did they arrest?
30.
When you take 30 people out, these are a lot of the guys that would have been like the in-between guys. So it takes you a couple days to find some more in-between guys, but not very long.
No.
You go to the local bar. Hey, who wants to help me move 30 pounds of meth? I do.
Yeah.
How many of those pounds can I have?
Yeah, we'll give you all you want.
Let's see.
Yeah, because the more you're awake, the better for us.
In Cedar City.
Iowa?
It's Utah. I said there were two Utah stories in a row. Brandon Mark Gilman.
Three names.
Uh-oh.
Yep, three names.
Why is that? Why is that? It's always drug stories.
He was employed by a tour bus company. I say was employed.
Was employed.
He had been hired along, along with four other bus drivers to drive the students who had just graduated from high school down to California to Disneyland for their weekend, their graduation weekend.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Graduate.
Yes. When they load the bus up, apparently in order to keep the kids from bringing marijuana and stuff, they have a police officer come with a drug-sniffing dog.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
To check out the students before
yes.
they get on the bus. Apparently the dog made a beeline for the bus driver. and when searched, they found he did
he
have marijuana.
Smell my dog.
I've got a bitch in heat at home.
He had marijuana, cocaine, and OxyContin, and he also had a big bottle of some other narcotic, Zolpidem.
What?
Zolpidem's not a narcotic. That's it's a painkiller, isn't it?
I have no idea.
I don't remember. But he didn't have a prescription for him.
Zolpidem. Sounds good, though.
And he did, when taken back to the correctional facility, he failed the sobriety tests.
Wow.
Why would you bring marijuana to California?
He's coming from Utah. It's probably better weed. I don't know. These days, it doesn't seem to matter.
That's true.
I found it interesting that all these students passed the drug dog sniffing test. The bus driver went down.
A kush is a kush is a kush is a kush.
What does that mean?
What time was the bus leaving? 4:20.
That's right.
What time was the bus arriving?
4:20.
What was the date? They were going to leave? 4:20.
Okay, you guys all think that the 4:20 thing is like this big pot thing. For me, you know what 4:20 is?
Ooh. Columbine.
No.
The it's date of Columbine.
Pineapple Upside Down Cake Day.
4:20 is the date of Columbine.
I just made a pineapple upside down cake last Friday.
I love pineapple upside down
cake. For a meeting. Should
have
come to the meeting.
Well, you guys say that. I'm going to have some
strawberry
with cream on it, man.
Okay, we have sort of a hero.
Stoners out in the audience right now going, damn, I wish I had some of that.
We have sort of a hero, but we don't know his name.
Well, then we got to sort of give him a...
Yeah, you do it without the kazoos. Hero of the week. In Milford, Delaware, Harold Walls was part of a two-man crew eight years ago, a two-man sanitation crew. He went out on a run in their truck.
Garbage men,
yes. When they were done with the run, his wallet was missing, and he figured it fell out of his pocket. It was the bummer.
Oh, I think I heard about this.
The bummer of it was that he had $800 in cash in the wallet that he and his wife had been saving to buy a big screen TV.
And he kept it in his wallet.
And he put it in his wallet that morning.
Oh.
to go get the TV.
After work, he was going to go get the TV because it was on sale.
Oh.
And his wallet went missing. He said, and I'm quoting him, he said, "I wrote it off, honestly. I'd lost it, done and gone. Ain't no sense in harping about it or crying over spilled milk. Keep moving."
All right.
Yeah, okay. Positive attitude.
Program without even being programmed.
And what happened?
8 years later, a farmer in Maine ended up buying the decommissioned sanitation truck,
uh-huh.
and he started dismantling it for parts.
Uh-huh.
And he found the wallet wedged so far down in the seat that no one would have seen it.
Ooh.
Sent it back anonymously to the sanitation agency, who gave it to Walls, not $1 missing.
Awesome.
Attaboy.
Yes.
Now, how old is he now?
He can go buy his TV now.
Yeah, he can go buy his TV now.
He can't afford
actually, his
it.
Age
but no,
is
can.
Not listed.
Well, just judging from the way he was talking about it, you know, it's probably, well, yeah, you know what, he's probably like 50s, something
yeah.
like that. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's unusual, too. And, you know, we have no way of knowing who the hero farmer is because he didn't put his name in the package.
You ever wonder what a farmer is doing buying a sanitation truck
I
for
just
parts?
Said he was dismantling it for parts.
I know, but what... does he have his own sanitation
no.
truck, so he needs
I
extra parts?
I would imagine that engine parts for a vehicle of that size could be interchangeable with, like, tractors and stuff.
Could be. I'm thinking,
possibly.
I'm thinking International Harvester.
Yeah. I don't know that International Harvester makes trash trucks, but possibly.
Well, whatever. Okay, here's an interesting story. I thought this was a little bit creepy.
Okay.
There's a new app out for your social media accounts called Dead Social. It allows you to be active on your social media site
even after you have died. Yeah. The
basically,
hell is that about?
What the app is you go and you write a bunch of posts, whatever it is that you want to say, and you put an end date or a delivery date on them. And that's when, because like if you have a Facebook account and you die, and no one knows your password to go in and deactivate your account, Facebook leaves it there. They'll call it in memoriam. They'll call it a memorial page, but they won't take it down because they have no authorization according to their terms of service. The only person who can deactivate an account is the person who owns the account.
My brother's page is still there.
Yep, it's exactly that way. So if you die and no one knows the password, it just sits there. That's why they say the internet is forever. So now what this app has done is like, If you have a certain date that you put in trigger words, whatever, onto your page, it will trigger the app to start posting your postmortem posts.
That'd be weird. You put
that
a trigger
weird.
Word like, you know, hey, what have you been doing?
I'm dead.
I'm dead. Nothing. What have you been doing? Nothing.
Dude, you're killing me.
Well, what I gather is the way it works is, like, if someone posts a certain phrase, you put in a certain phrase or whatever.
Right.
I guess you would have your spouse or somebody type the phrase in on your page and post it, and then it would trigger your post-mortem post.
I think that would be awesome. Bro, I haven't heard from you lately. I haven't heard from you lately. That's the thing.
You okay?
Dude, you're killing me. I've been dead tired.
Sorry, hold
wow.
on.
He's dead tired.
Yeah. Get a pillow for my friend. He's dead tired.
In Bucharest, Romania.
Sweet.
Bucharest.
This is an awesome name. This guy is called Nutsu the Pawnbroker.
Nutsu?
Nutsu the Pawnbroker. He's been indicted. He has in the past been indicted for leading what they're calling a fearsome criminal gang. But what he got in the most trouble for was keeping 4 lions and 2 bears without a license.
At the pawn shop?
But here's my question.
On his personal compound.
Who's going to go call him on it?
I know, he's got 4 lions.
Yeah.
And a fearsome gang.
Yeah, who's going to call this guy on it?
Well, and this is funny, he went to prison for some sort of gang or drug-related charge briefly, less than a year he was in. When he got out of jail, he had his, what do they call him, the second in command, the consigliori or whatever,
Consigliere?
Yeah, that word.
That'd be his attorney.
Oh, it is? Whatever. His dude. Bring him his black stallion so that he could ride away from the prison in style.
I like that.
That's awesome.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
He was recorded on videotape as he was sitting on his stallion roaring away from the prison. You say I fed men to my lions? Come over and I'll give you lions.
Oh.
Oh, so then they went over and looked? And he had lions?
Yeah, so he, they have...
Did he let his horse take a big dump on the front porch of the...
You don't let a horse take a dump. They just do it wherever they
That's
want.
That's awesome.
That's right.
Because you know it did. You know the horse let one out right in the parking lot of the prison. Warden
Hi-yo,
all out there.
Silver.
Warden walks out there. What was that?
So, at any rate, what they did was he's been charged. He could get 10 years for keeping these animals, but he probably won't even go to jail. He did surrender them to authorities, and they were all in very good condition, and several zoos in Europe have requested to adopt them.
Okay.
So the animals are fine. They're being taken care of. He took very good care of
them. So he's a hero.
He's kind of, but he's also a bad guy because he's a criminal. He had people killed and fed to his lions.
So he's like a good guy and a bad guy.
Yeah.
He's like Robin Hood.
Sort of, yeah.
Okay.
Robin Hood. what was his name again?
Nutsu the pawnbroker.
Nutsu Hood.
His actual name, he does have a real name. Ion Balint is his real name. And his son-in-law's name is Marius Vlad. They got some
the
awesome
Impaler?
Names. No, just
Marius Vlad the Impaler? Impaler?
They got awesome names in Romania,
Vlad.
Let me tell you.
Vlad the Impaler.
They all wish they were named Eddie.
Guy's like, why couldn't I have been named Joe?
Yeah.
When I was a kid, all the gay jokes had, oh, Bruce. And I used to tell my mom, why could you name me Joe?
Or
I'm like,
Nick.
G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Joe.
Call me
Joe. And this out of New York. Yes.
Oh, no. Are they restricting something else again?
No. Basid McLean, 23 years old, was charged with murder. He was charged with killing and dismembering his own mother and then dumping her body parts in black plastic trash bags all around the city.
Ugh.
He was in court claiming that he'd done nothing wrong. One of the big pieces of evidence that the detectives had on him was they found a photo of him holding her severed head. That's kind of...
like taken in the mirror? Hi. Did he get... I gotta ask, does he have duck lips in the picture?
I don't know. I haven't seen the picture. It's not like they released this picture with the story. But
I'll bet it's out there.
During his arrest, they are going to have
At
him
At least
go-
he wasn't sick.
Well, they're going to have him go through a psychiatric evaluation.
Gee.
And he's been placed on suicide watch and held without bail. His lawyer said that his client was off his medication but wouldn't say what type.
Antipsychotics?
When he arrived in court for his arraignment, he had peed himself so much that his pants were soaked through, so he took off his clothes and put on a giant plastic hefty bag. And that's how he appeared in court.
Was his mom's arm in the hefty bag?
No. Just his own arm.
Just checking.
Yes. We need, like, a nutter of the week sound.
Give me the name of the guy again.
Basid McLean.
Those two names do not sound like
I
they
know,
go together.
I know. They don't go together.
I am Basid McLean.
Yeah, there's...
Isn't that Bruce Willis's character's name? McLean?
Yeah, John.
Yes. There's some kind of remarriage, unmarriage, weird family logistics going on here because his mother's name is Tanya Bird. And his name is Basid McLean. So I'm thinking Tanya was originally Tanya McLean, married to Basid's father, and perhaps the father was of Middle Eastern or...
Yeah, because McLean's
sort of
really Middle Eastern sounding.
No. Basid is Middle Eastern, but McLean is not. So if she was originally McLean... No, he would be McLean, and she would originally be...
Right. So McLean, probably not a Middle Eastern name.
Right.
Unless he was named Bruce and didn't like it. So
that's right.
His name.
You know what? I wish you would have called me Basid.
Basid.
I'm going to be Basid.
I am Basid the Dismemberer, Devourer of Worlds, or Moms.
Wow.
Okay, that is the end of the Boozy News.
Thank God.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the new way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober internet radio. Yeah.
Shout out
to the New Way Foundation
and Sober College.
Selfwillhappens.com.
.com. So, Shelley, we have a topic.
Awesome. Go for it.
You don't remember it? She goes, I wasn't here.
I was in the kitchen putting the black bean stew in the crock pot.
Awesome. Mark, we have a topic. You remember it.
The fast lane. Taking the express lane. Life in the fast lane.
Shelley's like, okay, where are you going with that?
Go for it.
The elevator to recovery is broken. You gotta
take the steps.
Yeah.
Can't take the express lane.
And other twee little sayings that we love so much.
Yes.
Well, if you think about it.
Actually, this topic started out having nothing to do with recovery.
No.
In Los Angeles, they've put in a new fast-track express lane system.
Which guarantees that if you're poor, you can't drive in it, which is going to dump most of the people that use the Diamond Lane back into the regular traffic lanes.
Yes.
Of which are now grinding to a halt.
And if you have the normal express lane quota of people, you still have to go buy the fast track
transponder
in order to.
Which they also charge you by the month to have.
So,
yeah.
Another one of Jerry Brown's better ideas.
Yeah. I don't know if it's Jerry Brown's idea, but still.
Refresh me again. How did we end up with this Pratt for a second time? Did everyone suddenly get a mental, like, did they have a brain cloud on election day or something?
I know. We did this once.
Yes, we've had this dance.
Now, do you remember, I don't know if you guys remember
back
in the day.
We were in a heavy drug-induced haze at the time.
Do you remember back in
the
day, the spray for med flies?
Yes, that was the big claim to fame.
Yes.
He poisoned us all.
And they said, it won't hurt people. But then again, don't leave your car parked outside overnight because it could damage your paint job. And I'm like, really?
Yeah.
And remember there was like a family or something in Ojai. I think it was in Ojai. And they said, we're not leaving our house or whatever. And there was something up there.
And did it cure the med fly issue?
No.
No. What did cure the med fly issue?
Breeding them out with sterile med flies.
Yeah.
Awesome. I want to be the person who had to like go in and like give a little vasectomy to all the little male
sterilize the med flies.
Talk about a specialized job.
Sterilize the med flies.
I have a good government job.
Now, it does work, though, for along with what our topic is, because the people that try and do, like, the fast track to recovery, like, you know, the two-steppers or the three-steppers, they'll work, like, step one and step 12, and they don't really do anything else, and, you know, they want the easier, softer way.
Mm-hmm. They end up being the poor in recovery.
So what do you think, Shelley?
The ones I like that are like, they look like they're on the fast track to recovery, but the reality is that they're in step avoidance. And I've seen this more with women in recovery, is that, especially if they're anything like me, because I kind of did this at one point, they will load up on all this inspirational literature. Oh, yeah, I'm reading the big book. But look at this other book that's really helpful, has so many great suggestions, blah, blah, blah. And look at this other thing, and I'm going to this retreat, and I'm doing this. And they're doing all of these, like, spiritual growth kind of things and totally avoid. It's like they're running from the steps.
What if it was a Sister B retreat?
I went to one of those, and we had three workshops on the steps that retreat.
Well, yeah, so some of them would
Yes,
be
but I'm talking
good.
About the ones that will use anything and everything not to have to read the big book.
Hey, Parks and Rec is having a guide to spirituality this weekend.
Yes, that'll really help me with my recovery. Have you worked a step? No, but I'm going to this retreat.
Perfect.
How about that, Mark? You know people that spend all their time with retreats and things of that sort?
Well, you know, there seem to be a lot of things now that are different.
Right.
Like, I have a guy sponsor who's currently in a treatment center.
Okay.
It's 50 miles away from my house.
I as well, and it's about 50 miles.
I don't go out there very frequently.
Well, no.
they suggested to him that he should get a second sponsor that is closer to where he's at.
Why?
To work the steps. So he asked me what I thought. I said, while you're in treatment, do what they tell you to do.
True.
I happen to know the guys who all run this treatment center. They're great. They're terrific. They're friends. But
right.
If that's what they told you to do, you do it.
Right.
He goes and selects a sponsor. Says, I have a sponsor, but they asked me to get you to be a sponsor to kind of help me work the steps because I will see you more frequently. First thing this guy does is takes the NA step guide and hands it to him and says, here, fill this all out.
Fill this
Holy
all
guacamole.
Out.
That thing is intense.
Now,
oh, good.
That's okay. They can't
the
hear
band
us.
Has started.
Now, the issue I have
if you guys
is,
hear a drum beat in the background,
yeah, that's just
you'll
next.
Know what it is. You
it's
may not hear
soundtrack.
It.
That's the studio. That's the studio next door. Now, fill this all out to me is like, I came to you to sponsor me. You just hand me this stuff. What is it with that? Are people just getting lazy sponsoring people that's how they do it?
Yeah,
know?
Let me give you a thing to fill out.
Yeah, because once you get done filling this out, you've worked the first step. Well, I don't know. Did you get that you were powerless? Well, it doesn't matter as long as you filled out every line right.
And the funny thing is, though, that I have recently, in fact, I think I lost a sponsee somewhere, but she just never called me back, asking about, well, don't I have worksheets? I'm like, the big book doesn't come with worksheets.
No, it doesn't.
Well, what am I supposed to do? Well, read up to this page. We'll
get
together. You can, but they're not. It's not in the book. It's not a part of the actual first 164 pages.
Right.
You know, I don't know where this sudden desire for we have to have this, you know, schmo and barley worksheets.
Well, I heard
you know what we should do? We just came up with it. We should develop the app. And sell it for 99
Recovery 101
cents.
App.
And sell it for 99 cents.
Here's how you work the steps.
You download it, and it shows you how to work the steps.
Well, they seem
I don't think we should have said that on the air.
Yeah.
No, why not?
There's money in that
There's
somewhere.
There's money in that. Well, they seem disappointed when I tell them, no, I mean, I can get them some worksheets. I did a bunch of worksheets just after I'd worked the steps all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
I went back and was doing some worksheets with my sponsor, but it's not a require, and they seem disappointed by that.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're expecting to just, if I do the worksheets, then I'm well. I get better if I finish the worksheets.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that.
I had a guy with about 15 years. He was sharing in a meeting one time, and I was really impressed with what his sponsor did, and I had never thought of doing it. He got a sponsor, so what do I do? Sponsor says, we get together every week, we read the big book, page by page. Starting at the very beginning, and we read through it. Every time we get to a place where the big book describes a step, we work the step. I thought, that's pretty cool that you're reading the book. Instead of just, you know, yeah, here, let's work the first step. Read the book, and when you get to the spot where it tells you about working the first step, you work the first step. How do you know how to do it? It's right there in the book. You're reading it right now.
That's kind of the way my sponsor did it with me. We didn't go page by page, but
uh-huh.
She had me, and this is what I do with my sponsees. You read a section of the book, we get together, we talk about it, we'll
mm-hmm.
read a whole bunch of it, whatever, if you didn't understand anything,
mm-hmm.
or because sometimes when you read things out loud with somebody else, it helps
mm-hmm.
understanding, and then work those steps, and then you read the next chunk, and we get together. And when I did it with my sponsor, I was seeing her like twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I did that I saw her twice a week for like 3 years, and then once a week for another
mm-hmm.
2.5 years after that, so...
Yeah.
Well, we had I've gotten the only thing I've given to someone that was even remotely like a workbook, which wasn't a workbook,
mm-hmm.
was a fourth step memory jogger, which is a sheet of
yeah.
paper that basically has a list of people and institutions and things that you might
yeah.
have forgotten about.
Yeah.
Like it'll say like, you know, teachers, bankers, that
yeah.
guy at the gas
yeah.
station, and it's got this
yeah.
entire list so that you can go through
yeah,
and go, oh, I remember a guy that I
yeah,
screwed
it's
over.
It's an inventory cattle prod.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because
oh, yeah, I remember that.
Because I'll tell you, I heard at a meeting last night, this girl that was sharing said she is a alcoholic addict, and she originally started in N.A., And she found as she went along that she kind of quit doing drugs, but she kept drinking. And she had done the NA workbooks, which are fairly substantial. I don't think there's anything wrong with them. I mean, there's a lot of shit they get out in there. But she goes, when she got to AA, she's working with this woman who's got like 40 years sober. And they sit down and they talk about a step. And they're talking about like step one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I guess it came to the sponsor's satisfaction in their discussion that she had a good handle on step one. She goes, okay, well, that's good. Let's go to step two. And she goes, is that it? And she goes, yeah, why? And she goes, well, I had an 18-page work thing or something for NA. And she goes, yeah, you overcomplicate stuff much? And
yeah.
she goes, well, that's just what they did. And the woman told her, goes, look, I don't have anything against NA's books. You know, the worksheets, they drive in the stuff that a lot of people wouldn't normally talk about. But she was like, from our discussion, I find that you... Now, of course, none of this really goes along with what the topic was. It's funny, yesterday we had a... Or the last show, we had a thing about how meetings went out of the topic when topics change.
Yeah.
We've kind of gone from not working any steps to working all the steps by doing recovery sheet workbooks.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of not like...
That's not the fast lane.
I was thinking... Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, working on a workbook is not exactly the fast track, because anytime you make an alcoholic or an addict write 18 pages worth of questions or something, that's not really too fast.
Well, and I don't... Like you said, I don't think there's anything wrong with the workbook thing. Some people need that kind of, you know, rote...
Yeah.
You know, a busy work. They need that because it makes them feel like they're working for something. Some people need that. That's good for them. It wasn't really good for me. So.
But you know what? For a quarter gram, you can get a guy to fill out the first three steps for you.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's funny. I just got a text message from someone. I just got a text message from someone who's been...
dancing?
Who's been calling me. Now, this is a guy that I used to party with years and years ago.
Uh-huh.
But I don't really... You know, I didn't even talk to him that much then. And he called me the other day, and he said, hey, he goes, hey, how are those recovery classes working for you? You know, out of the blue, how are those recovery classes working for you? Oh, pretty good.
Yeah.
For a long time. I go, we don't really call them classes. They're more like just hanging out and talking. But
yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah, I might want to go to one of those sometime. Yeah. And so, well, you know, you let me know. And I just got a text. I said, hey, what's up? Yeah, I wonder where I'll be tonight.
Yeah, I know when you'll be tonight, Pomona.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
Yeah, perfect. So anyway.
Yes.
How about the people? Wait, be quiet for one moment. I want to see if the people back home are actually hearing this. Let's see. I don't think they're really going to hear it.
Barely.
But there's quite a drum solo going on next door.
Yes,
in the other studio.
Yes, our next door neighbor, Derek.
Yeah, we got Derek over in the studio next door, and he's a... I'm
pretty good.
He's good.
You know what, though? That lets me know how great our soundproofing is in these studios here, because I hear him pretty clear. It must be rocking loud in that room over there.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, because we're a ways away.
Yeah. So how about the people that just don't work any steps, like at all? They just go to meetings. Like, they're on really the fast track. I mean, they're not doing anything. Stay sober.
I had a guy share in a meeting a couple weeks ago. They called on him to share. This guy never volunteers to share. They called on him to share. He goes, well, I don't know. They're, oh, come on, let's share. He was the only guy in the room who hadn't shared left. There was like 4 minutes left in the meeting. You know, dude, share. He's got 3.5 years.
Yeah.
He's never worked a step. He's never gotten a sponsor. And he doesn't share in meetings unless you insist that he share.
Wow. That sounds kind of miserable and lonely to me.
He never shares in a meeting unless you insist?
Yeah.
I know a guy like that, James.
Yeah.
If you don't call on James, James will never, ever, ever raise his hand.
If you don't call on Shelly, she'll raise her hand.
But you can call on Shelly and she doesn't want to share.
Yeah, I know.
She'll go, really?
I call on Shelly when I'm in a meeting whenever I can. I just, unfortunately, I don't see you guys in meetings much anymore, but that's my fault. I'm not around the area.
Shelly won't want to share. I'm like, Shelly? For women, you have the most time in the room.
That doesn't mean I'm going to say anything valuable. I have no idea what's going to come out of my mouth.
Doesn't mean you won't. See, Shelly's on the fast track. She doesn't want to share.
fast track to what, relapse or recovery?
No, either way.
That's right. That little fork in the road is sometimes indiscernible until you're on it.
Yeah.
So how about the the two-steppers? Step one, I'm an alcoholic. I admit I'm an alcoholic. But now let me help you.
Now that I've admitted it, I can help you.
Yeah, now that I've... Well, now there would be the people that would say, let's say this guy's going to a meeting every day.
Mm-hmm.
He's worked step one.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 30, 40 days.
He helps the guy with a week.
He can help the guy with a week.
Mm-hmm. Guy with a week could help the guy with a day.
First step, 12 step.
Yep.
You know,
when does that run out, though?
I don't know, because I know somebody with more than a decade who is admittedly a two-stepper, and he's actually kind of valuable. He pulls newcomers in with him all the time. And he doesn't seem to be particularly miserable either.
Who?
I'll tell you later.
Who? Say it on the air. Say it on the air.
No. In that case, I think he's kind of valuable to the people that he's because he's not sponsoring any of them. He just brings them to the meeting.
Right.
And then, you know, a couple weeks later, I'll go to the Tuesday meeting, and I'll see that person tagging along with somebody else.
Gotcha.
So he's kind of like the recovery bellwether. You know, the Judas goat that leads all the cows into the slaughterhouse.
The Judas cow? Did you say the Judas cow?
Judas goat. A Judas goat? It's a goat. It has a bell on it, and all the cows will follow the sound of the bell, and the goat's only job in the slaughterhouse is to walk through the line. He doesn't get slaughtered. And all the cows follow him into the abattoir.
How weird must it be to be that goat? That goat's like, I'm the only one not getting killed here. Yeah.
Well, they're also called bellwethers.
And then the one day, they start sending the goat through. He doesn't have the bell on. He's like, uh-oh. Uh-oh.
For whom the bell tolls. Well, it doesn't toll for me, so I'm in trouble.
Things are not good.
Yeah.
I went to a place in Pasadena with my mom. She went to an eye appointment. We go out there. And it's called the Cheese House or something of Pasadena. I'm thinking, this has got to be awesome. So they let you try all these different cheeses and stuff, which is rocking good. And I think to myself, I'm going to take Shelly back some cheese. So I buy a quarter pound of this. And I'm thinking if it's really expensive, you know, maybe if it's $10 a pound, you know, a quarter pound is going to cost me like $2 or $3.
Not so much.
I buy 3/4 pounds of cheese of, like, these amazing different cheeses. $56. I'm like, what? And they're like these little discs of cheese. Not very much. And I'm like,
eaten them.
I'm like, oh, wow. And then one of the things was a package of, like, the world's greatest chocolate chip cookies, which were not... Clearly, the world's greatest chocolate chip cookies. They weren't even close to the world's greatest chocolate chip cookies.
I didn't even have one, so I don't know.
The chocolate chip cookies that Mark and Debbie brought the other day were far superior to these chocolate chip cookies. We're bantering now.
We're bantering now because we've lost our other host. Mark
needed it. Yeah, we're right about near the end of the time. So what you're going to get here, folks, is a little bit of banter.
Oh, I could tell them all about my new candy.
Shelly made new candy.
Yes, it has four ingredients, but you can add a fifth.
You can add a fifth of what?
It's yellow cake batter, the mix, just the dry mix. Yellow cake, a cup of yellow cake mix, a cup of confectioner's sugar. You blend them together really well, and then you put half a stick of butter and a quarter cup of milk in, and you microwave it for a couple minutes. Don't stir.
That's all that's in that?
Yeah.
Seems like candy.
Yeah, and you don't stir it before you put it in the microwave. Once it comes out of the microwave and the powder's all hot and everything's all melty, then you stir it, and it gets really thick, and then you stir in, like, I stirred in the fifth ingredient, which is those colored nonpareils, those little sprinkle thingies.
Yeah.
And then you lay it out on a baking sheet and stick it in the fridge for an hour, and it's fudge. It's cake. It's cupcake fudge.
I know, but it doesn't look at all like cake mix. It looks like flat...
It looks like vanilla fudge.
It looks like, yeah, it looks like white chocolate fudge with sprinkles in it.
Yeah, but it tastes like yellow cake fudge. It's awesome.
All the stoners out there are like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Shelly's going to be, she'll be selling it online, 420.com, 420snackrelief.com.
Oh, that would be an awesome website.
420.com? I'm sure it's taken.
No, like 420snackrelief.com. They could give people in the
have my
area,
mom's cookies on there?
Yes, we could get like a whole bunch of good yummies on there, and people that like have the munchies, they can call up or post a thing online saying, oh, I really need some shortbread, man.
Have the
and have one of our delivery drivers take them a dozen shortbread.
There's a tobacco store in town that I get cigars from occasionally that this guy, a Middle Eastern guy, well, I don't know if he's Middle Eastern, but he bought it from the previous owner, and he puts his mom's baklava out there. It is the greatest baklava I've ever had. I don't know if it's baklava, whatever it is freaking awesome. And I'm like, are you selling this? He goes, no, just go ahead and have one. I'm like, can I have another? He's like, oh, okay.
Yay, we're back.
So,
yes.
We bantered.
So, Shelly.
Oh.
Yes.
I almost said who's the lead up music guy. People are listening to the show.
I'm sorry.
It's going to be a long show this
one. Did we even do last words?
Oh, we didn't.
That's okay.
Shelly, what
were
your last words on the fast track to recovery be?
I don't know. You ought to be on the fast track to something. You get to pick whether it's relapse or recovery. It's up to you. I don't know. Oh, no words of wisdom from me. Brain dead.
Mark, final words. Mark was away for a while thinking of his final words.
I was. The road is meant to be trudged and not sped across.
There you go. You can always count on Mark to have the...
Wait a minute. Trudging doesn't necessarily mean going slow. The definition of trudge is to walk with purpose.
Boogie the road of happy destiny.
Whoop, whoop.
But don't forget to work the steps in between.
That's right. Nobody say about Lear jetting the road of heavy trust, happy destiny.
That was my final words.
Oh, all right then.
Sweet,
woo, right. We're done.
You know what? The elevator to sobriety is broken. You got to take the steps.
Official eye roll.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Shelly.
Yes.
People are listening to the show.
I'm sorry.
And the drum solo, possibly. That guy is still rocking on the drum solo.
Rocking.
That thing's long enough. You could probably walk partway over there with it. Now, hang on, folks.
Yes,
we're gonna send our roving reporter. Let's see, how much space do you have? I'm sure you guys could for sure hear that.
I think they could probably hear it.
It was hitting the yellow.
Yeah, it was hitting the yellow, so they could probably hear it.
all right, I'm back.
So, Jelly.
Yes. What was the question?
The question
Which
was people
was
are listening to the
oh,
show.
Drive
okay.
them to the site, Shelly.
Yes. No matter
the
how
four
you listen
people
to the
that are
show,
still listening.
Yeah, no matter how you listen to the show, we appreciate it. If you could, however, go to recovery101.net, that would be awesome. Click on one of the shows, then you can click on like or permalink. If you are a member of Podomatic, you've just been counted, and we really appreciate that. If you are not, you will have an opportunity to become a member. It is free.
And fun.
And fun.
You can follow us. You can get automatic updates of when the shows post. You can put comments and topic suggestions. If you do topic suggestions, please put them on the most recent show so that Bruce can see them easily and write them down.
That's right.
And you can also put us on playlists for all your Saturday night party.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop.
There's no better beat to dance to than that. You can do the white man's overbite.
It's the doo-doo
You can
boogie.
Do the duck lips.
Sure. The doo-doo boogie.
The doo-doo boogie. Mark.
Yes.
We got a friend.
We do, still?
You know.
We hope.
You missed the...
Unless he's been elected Pope.
Hey,
okay.
Listen. You missed the let me tell you how to make this new kind of fudge recipe that Shelly gave out. It reminded me of a filibuster back in the 60s where someone's giving like their fried chicken recipe trying to burn up time.
Who was the senator that read
you
the
guys
phone
couldn't
book?
Find, you guys couldn't find anything to talk about while I was gone?
We did.
We sort of diverged onto, I don't know how we got on that.
God. A show without a rudder.
Shelly's doing 420, what was it? 420snackrelief.com.
Okay. Yes. We're going to start a new company.
Awesome. Anyway, that would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com. Wait a second. Introduce him again. That would be
Bruce.
The Pope.
Pope Bruce.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can read his fine publication online. You can get it emailed to you. You can get the subscription prescription. He'll send it to you via the United States Postal Service. If you have a recovery house or a sober living or someplace where many of us sick gather, contact Bruce, and he will send you hard copies to strew about the place. If you would like to have, if you'd like the information on bringing the 12 Step Gazette to the corner of the world, contact Bruce and he will give you what you need.
Franchise. We've got email addresses at recovery101radio@gmail.com. That's where you send your Recovery Idol submission. We should talk to the drummer next door and see if he wants to drum us out one.
No kidding.
Actually, that'd be kind of cool. Yep. Just a drum on. Recovery 101. Be like Rammstein. Du hast.
Du
hast. Oh, that'd be perfect for us. You hate me. we've got also got you join the crack advertising staff at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. If you'd like to become an advertiser with us, you can pretty much contact us any way you want. Facebook group, recovery101radio@gmail.com, or recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
We sure don't. Shelley, who's the lead out music by?
Gold school, Shelley. Gold school.
Lead out music by the drummer next door.
You pick one then.
Sean Van Domlin.
Sean
Van Domlin, SleepyPilotMusic.com. Everyone, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
My
Christmas.